AM 1220 KDOW presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, helping you excel in business and in life. Here's business coach and Money 2.0 host, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome to Money 2.0 Business on the Edge. This show is brought to you by the Small Business Concierge Digital Magazine here in Silicon Valley. Thank you for tuning into our show tonight. We appreciate your listenership. We are broadcasting live from Silicon Valley Bay Area and around the world on AM 1220 KDOW, iHeartRadio, and online streaming. If you're listening live, you can always listen live. If you want to dial into the show and get your questions on air with us tonight, you can dial in at 1-800-516-1220. That is 1-800-516-1220 and get your questions and comments on air with me tonight. I'm really excited about getting into this show tonight. We have a guest, and he has been on several times, and there's some new exciting things going on in his world. And so you may have listened in when we have had Assemblymember Canson Chu on the show. Assemblymember Canson Chu was first elected to the State Assembly representing residents from, and if you're in California, you'll know these places, Berryessa, Alviso, North San Jose, Milpitas, Santa Clara, Newark, and South, and the south half of Fremont in 2014. And if you don't know where Fremont is, ask Elon Musk, because Tesla is headquarters. It's nestled right there in Fremont. And just some of the bills that he has passed and for his district is he's increased school bus safety, he's expanded access to mental health services, secure more funding for transportation. He's improved state recycling efforts. He's expanded access to clean drinking water for disadvantaged communities. And we don't realize in the United States that we have disadvantaged communities that are not eating. They don't have clean drinking water. And you think not in this country. You would think not in this country. But he has spearheaded these sort of issues, and that's, you know, something that we have to keep in the back of our minds, that these sorts of things are going on. Protection for domestic abuse survivors. And so having him on the show is always an honor. He is running for county supervisor for San Jose, for Santa Clara County. And now, his run has not started with Assembly, and so maybe we'll talk about those early days as a council member for San Jose, which is, I would say, the Ichi, the capital of Silicon Valley, San Jose, California. Assemblymember Canson Chu, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. We appreciate you coming on with us.
Oh, thank you, Coach Jackson. It's always nice to be on your show. Thanks for inviting me here again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm looking at a quote here from you, and I'd like to share it with our audience. You've been such a dedicated servant to the people of Alameda County, of California. And so I want people really to kind of get a feel for who you are. And so with nearly a decade of government experience, I know what it takes to find solutions, navigate the governmental agencies, and get things done. As a county supervisor, I aim to serve my constituents' needs and partners to improve the growing city we call home. And I remember asking you, why are you running for county supervisor as an assembly member? And one of the things that really struck me was you said, I want to come home. And I thought that was absolutely powerful. So tell us a little bit about what you want to do as a county supervisor coming home to Santa Clara County, San Jose, in these areas.
Great. Yeah, thank you. Thank you again. You know, I came to California, to United States, as a graduate student with luggage full of textbooks and a few hundred dollars in my pocket. So the fact that I'll be able to represent the Assembly District 25 in California and serve the 40 million people of California. It's just a great, great honor and a privilege. I just, it's something that I would even couldn't dream about. And I'm want to come home to focus my effort on things that are important to Santa Clara, to Silicon Valley, because in state assembly is great, but every decision, every law that we make, we have to consider the impact of people from Imperial County all the way to Modoc County. Mm-hmm. And coming back home, I'll be able to focus my effort on things that are really important to my family, you know, my fourth generation family that has been calling Santa Clara home for the last 40 some years. So it is really a great opportunity for me. The supervisor's seat was open, and we run in the primary election. There are four candidates, and because there are four candidates, nobody gets 50% plus one vote. Therefore, the top two vote getters is going to have a runoff in November, and I'm just very honored to have the person that come in third and the person that come in fourth all endorsing me for my for this runoff election. So wow. I just yeah.
Go ahead and finish.
I'm just very honored to have their support, and have the support for so many residents in the San Jose and Milpitas area throughout the year. So, thank you.
Thank you for that. That's important. Who we're who's supporting us and moving our democracy forward in a positive way, right? So you've served on different committees as an assembly member, and one that sticks out to me right now because of all of the civil unrest, you served on the Select Committee on Hate Crimes and really trying to denounce hate, keep communities safe, but it's almost like there's no safe community in the United States right now, that there is such a deep unrest in our communities. How will you as a, in terms of that committee, could you share some of the changes that that you and this committee achieved? And then will you be bringing some of those achievements or practices into the county supervisor role?
Definitely, yeah. Actually, I started that Select Committee on Hate Crime and chaired that committee for the last 3 years. And at the beginning, we're trying to address this underreporting of hate crime. That was one of my biggest concerns. So we asked the state auditor to do audit of the hate crime reporting. And sure indeed, I found out there's a lot of holes on the reporting of the police reporting of the hate crime. So we have asked the attorney general to revise some of the procedures in terms of reporting hate crimes. We also require the frontline first responder at the scene to fill up a supplemental report if they can identify the crime is related to hate crime. So we would require them to fill up a supplemental report, and that be much easier for the district attorney to prosecute them. So we did an audit report, and we have come up with six, seven different suggestions by the auditors, and one by one we're implementing it by introducing bills to the legislature. And last year, I have a few bills related to hate crime. One was focused on the school safety. So I have AB 2110. The bill will require all California public school and charter school to incorporate training materials and guidelines related to preventing, recognizing, and responding to the hate or bias-related events into the school safety plan in order to assure that the safety of our students and the staff, actually, in California. And then there was introduced a bill 2879, which would require the law enforcement to complete a supplemental report, like was suggested by the audit, for each suspected hate crime and hate incident. This bill will define the hate crime in order to capture the law cases that do not meet the threshold of a crime. So, and there's a couple more. I have AB 300. It is a hate crime and incident report bill. This bill required the specified report from the law enforcement to include a checkbox indicating whether the case at hand is a suspected hate crime or hate incident. It will have required law enforcement agency to complete the supplemental report for each of the suspected hate crime or incident. So the AB 300 and the AB 2879 kind of go hand in hand. And we also want to improve the training of the peace officers on hate crime.
And Assembly Member, I have to hold you off right there. I'm interested in having that conversation and getting back to our policing. We've got to go to a commercial break. You're listening to AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business and finance leader.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. Money 2.0, Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. We are live, Silicon Valley, Bay Area. And if you're on iHeartRadio, welcome to the show. We are talking to Assemblymember Canton Chu, who is running for county supervisor in the heart of Silicon Valley, the Ichi, the hub. The Santa Clara is home of San Jose. And we consider it the capital of Silicon Valley. So rest of the world, eat your heart out. We are here. So Assemblymember, we were talking about, you were just getting into, as we ended our last segment, about policing and the retraining, because these are some great bills, AB 2879 and AB 300, the hate crimes. But what happens when the hate crimes come from the police officers and they're behind the badge and saying, you know, it wasn't hate, you know, it was in the line of their duty, but the over-excessive force that has ended so many lives of Black Americans. And so we're seeing the Black Lives Matter. And one of the things that I often say is, you know, Black people aren't saying that all lives don't matter. What we're saying is the mattering of life, and mattering really means to be of significance. If you look at the definition version of that, and we're saying our lives need to be significant and equitable when in every sector, whether it's healthcare, judicial system, whatever is happening, just treat us fairly. But that's not the case. We had a young man we saw on television who shot a couple of people in a protest walking down the street with a semi-automatic to the police. No one's shooting him, gives him a soda, and sends him home before he's ever arrested. That's not equity. That's like what just happened right there. So what needs to happen? What kind of training or the consideration that a police officer to get that message across of the mattering, the significance, making every life significant and not just seeing the color of someone's skin and says, I'm going to treat them differently because I can. And if I can get away with it, then I'm going to try to get away with it.
Yeah, definitely. It's been heartbreaking to witnesses to see it on television, those senseless deaths of many Black or colored individuals, especially at the hand of those who are supposed to protect and serve. So there's a lot of bill trying to address the use of force of the peace officers. But my hate crime bill, which AB 1052, is to offer peace officers training on hate crime. So because the hate crime law changes, I want to make sure that all peace officers are updated with the latest law in terms of the hate crime. So that bill would require peace officer to watch a specific hate crime video course that was developed and released by the Commission on Peace Officer Standards and Training, POST, as we call them. They also would require all in-services peace officer to take a refresh course on hate crime every 3 years, and that POST they've developed and periodically update this refresh courses. But on the use of force, we have also passed a bill, AB 1196, which I was a co-sponsor, to ban the use of charcoal, one of which was used to kill George Floyd. Mm-hmm. And we also have a legislation. I am also proud to be a co-author of AB 1506, which was recently signed by the Governor Newsom, that required a California Attorney General to investigate all use of force incident that led to death of a civilian. And that would provide accountability, or better accountability, in all those cases. And this year session was kind of shortened because of the COVID-19. We, instead of having 5-6 months to deliberate on all the bills that are proposed by legislatures, we only have a short 2 months to do it. So we were forced to cut up a lot of our bills, and because of the space limitation, the social distancing, we closed down all of our smaller committee rooms. So all the committee will have to use the larger two committee rooms, and to scheduling it became a challenge. So we limited to one meeting per committee. Therefore, a lot of good bills didn't get through the process. And we do support a bill, SB 776, which will have expanded on the information that is required to be disclosed to the public, such as officers' past history of misconduct. And there's already requirement in place, which I also supported, but this bill will have required more information to be disclosed. Because a lot of problem is that one peace officer did something bad or has some history of misconduct because of the privacy issue. They usually don't disclose it to the hiring agency. So this bill, SB 776, will require them to not to disclose to the public. So the hiring agency have no excuse, to not be aware of the past history of those peace officers. So I think that would really it will really help the situation and be able to kind of weed out some bad apples.
That's right. And that's exactly what our country needs and what every city and county needs in each state to really protect lives. And I think that's super important in terms of that. So before we go to a commercial break, I'm looking at as a county supervisor, we've got one of your initiatives is to really support some of the housing issues. But now with COVID-19, we have greater housing issues because people are being laid off or have been laid off, working from home, part-time working, you know, losing substantial pay. Now we don't have stimulus resources that are supporting them. When we come back from the commercial break, I want you to respond to that on how we can really you know, fill in these gaps so people can really enjoy, you know, having a decent place to live. But now they're even losing the places that they have. And so we're increasing there in terms of some of those challenges due to COVID-19. We're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, more with Assemblymember Kansa Chu running for county supervisor for Santa Clara County, Silicon Valley, AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business leader.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. AM 1220 KDOW Money 2.0 here with business, with Money 2.0 Business on the Edge here with Assemblymember Kansa Chu. And we're having some conversation about what type of work that the assembly member has accomplished as an assembly member here in California. And now that he's running for county supervisor for Silicon Valley, Santa Clara County, what kind of things are we going to see? And we just got done talking about the policing, but let's talk a little bit about the housing. And the housing is interesting because we already have a shortage, but now we have a pandemic that people are at risk of even losing their homes or being evicted. And now we've got two problems to have to kind of face in this dilemma. And we've got a housing shortage, and it's costly to live in Silicon Valley. So how are you going to address those two issues in terms of, you know, the housing shortage and the cost to even live in Silicon Valley for those that are already in tough situations? We have a lot of homelessness, and then we have the pandemic that is now pushing people to the brink of losing their homes, losing their apartments. How are you going to solve those things? Because we're still in this pandemic. We don't have a stimulus anymore that they're getting that $600. So Assemblymember,
yeah,
address that.
You know, yeah, it really, really makes me mad how out of touch our current president is. It seems like he really doesn't care about the people that are suffering. The state, the county actually is really a branch of the state government. It's chartered to pretty much take care of the human services area. And this, our state is not in a great financial health. At the beginning of this year, we were anticipating a surplus of $20 billion. But when we ended the session in September, we are $55 billion. The state is $55 billion in the hole. And like I say, the county, the Santa Clara County, for example, has an $8 billion budget. But $7 billion is really the money from the state and the federal government. And there's what we call a categorical fund. You know, you'll be used to perform certain functions for the state and the federal government. But it does have some power. And I was the first, at the beginning of the lockdown, I had proposed a moratorium on residential and moratorium for small businesses, because I know that the small business, those mom and pop shop, will be suffering a lot. We know that so many businesses have already closed their doors permanently.
Right,
and some
right.
are on the verge of closing. So
right.
there is a moratorium on an eviction, and we extend it until next February.
Okay, we got to go to a commercial break, Assemblymember. When we come back, more with Assemblymember Kansim Chiu, AM 1220 KDOW, Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business leader.
Get ready. Business on the Edge is taking you out of the studio walls with the Small Business Concierge Magazine. You've been waiting, looking for it. Now it's here. Business expert contributors, small business concierge, STEAM, local events, YE 2.0, the young entrepreneur, women in business centerfold, small business science lab, bridging the gap, the bottom line. Now here's Silicon Valley's number one business radio personality, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Small Business Concierge segment of the show where we talk about small businesses. And right now we have Assemblymember Kansim Chiu on the show. And so I have to ask about small businesses. Now, Assemblymember, AB5, that is a little bit of a pain point for small businesses. Now that's in the Uber, Lyft, and DoorDash gig workers. This has been going on for quite some time. So now we're under this new regulation. As small business owners, we have micro businesses that use gig workers, but now they're considered employees. So what are we looking at here? How are we going to help small businesses survive now that we have this new kind of legislation? And I know that we have the AB 2257 that Governor Newsom, in response to the AB 5 law, to kind of bring in a little bit more wiggle room, if you will, for lack of a better term,
right,
for gig workers or for contract workers. But it is a pain point.
It is. You know, I think the original idea was good. Assemblymember Lorena Gonzalez was trying to provide some health care, some benefit to those gig workers. But the impact of so many of the people in different professions. You know, you're talking about reporters, you know, newspaper reporters, they may be a part-time. You're talking about truck drivers, you know, those people that are hauling goods around, that they are usually being considered as contractors. They only get a job when they need it. So that create a lot of situation that the legislatures and the governors are trying to fix it. But this coming election, there's a proposition. I think I can't remember the number. You're trying to a memorandum to repeal this AB5. So I would just hold my breath and see how that proposition goes and in November. And I'm sure that the legislatures and the governors will continue refining this AB5 to really be able to achieve what they set up to do in the first place. But since right. we're on this small business topic, I just wanted to, again, publicly thank you for participating in one of my town hall as our expert panelists on small business small business during this pandemic. And I'm very happy to report to you that small business town hall that you were part of had the highest attendance amongst all my town halls on the CalFresh, on the WIC program, on the public safety program. So thank you so much. You are definitely a big draw to so many peoples in my district, in Santa Clara County.
Thank you, Assemblymember. I appreciate that. Speaking of which, we are going to be participating together in another event on October 16th, and that is the Cybersecurity right. Symposium for Smart Cities 2020. So that is October 16th. That's a Friday. And you want to connect with Cybersecurity Symposium for Smart Cities. And you can go out and register for that and watch the panel that Assemblymember Canson Chu is going to participate on. That's the Small Business Innovations Game Changer, Secure E-Commerce, which is a big deal right now in this pandemic. E-commerce technology is really, really great ways for small businesses to pivot. So I'm looking forward to being on that panel with you. We've got many others, Pamela Varvara, yes, from SCORE, Silicon Valley SCORE, Jesse Lin from Kathina, and then Damia Thwaites from Adaptable Security, Des Woodworth, who we've done a lot with as well, Economic Development Officer from the City of San Jose, and then Julian Perez, Economic Development Officer, City of Coral Gables, and then, of course, yourself, Assemblymember Canson Chu. So I'm looking forward to participating in this event, but they have so much more going on with the Cybersecurity Symposium. So if you want the link to participate, please email me at ontheedge@businessontheedge.biz, and I will get that to you. Or you can register at tinyurl.com/smartcities2020 and connect. There's going to be tons and tons. In fact, the district director for the SBA is going to be part of that event as well. So there's going to be so many different ways to connect and enjoy the event. This is just one part of it, but there's so much more. We've got about 2 minutes before we are out of this segment, Assemblymember. So moving forward with small businesses and getting small businesses reopening, do you have a plan for that?
Definitely, you know, but I'm not the medical professional, so we would really rely on the medical professional to dictate the timing. But I know that all of us can affect the timing. I believe that we are on a good path to reopen, but then everybody, before we have a vaccine, I think we are definitely rely on all of us to, you know, follow the order, follow the guideline. You know, we know the pandemic is still around, is still here. The virus is still around us, and we can easily get into another bad wave if we're not careful. So please wear your mask, be safe, and follow the rules so we can get back to work. So it's really, really on your hands whether we'll be able to get back to work sooner or later before we have a vaccine. We're all in the same boat together.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're going to wrap it up and get out of this segment. Stay tuned for our final segment, more, and we got some closing thoughts for you. Stay tuned and don't touch that dial. AM 1220 KDOW.
For more information on the Small Business Concierge magazine or to invite Margaret Jackson to speak, go to smallbusinessconcierge.biz. That's smallbusinessconcierge.biz.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. Love it. Oh, wow. One of my favorite groups. Welcome back, Money 2.0, Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. We have got to get out and vote, must get out and vote. And on that note, Teresa Cox is running for Fremont, California City Council. Currently, she serves as Vice Chair Trustee for the Ohlone Community College Board. 12 years now, where Ohlone has the top five highest transfer rate among all California community colleges. As former chair of the Fremont Economic Development Commission, she has promoted small businesses, job opportunities, and led a trade commission to China. Teresa Cox will bring diverse, decades-long experience to bear solving problems the city and community face, like police reform, crime, advancement of women and minorities, affordable housing, and focus on getting businesses open, creating jobs, and small business initiatives. Teresa Cox is a proud mother of two teenagers, a Democrat, and ready to lead. By working together, Fremont can be made a better place for everyone. Teresa Cox asks for your vote on November 3rd, 2020. You can visit her website at teresacox.org. So we know that voting is right around the corner. And I always say, if you don't vote, don't complain. You get what you vote for. Well, you don't always get what you vote for, but you should at least get your voice out there. Assemblymember, this is our last segment, and I want to take these last few minutes and give you an opportunity to talk to the community, talk to our listeners on their getting out to vote and how you're going to serve the community, where you're looking for those votes. So I'm gonna allow you to just share your heart here.
Yeah, I also wanted to add that Teresa Cox was my woman of the year, 2016, I believe.
Okay.
And his son actually interned in my office for the summer. So it's a great, great family. And again, before we ended the show, I also wanted to remind everyone about filling up their census data. You know, it's been confusing because the federal administration has been trying so hard to shorten the time that we have to get counted. But the judge ruled that the people can still be counted until the end of this month. So if you haven't done that, please do it now. It takes about 5 to 10 minutes, and it will secure federal funding for things like this education, environment, infrastructure, park, and much, much more. So please take 5 to 10 minutes and fill up the census before the end of October. And please vote. It is very, very important that we all exercise our voting right. And we have fought so hard to protect the right. And as far as a most recent immigrant, I'm so fortunate to get the support of my community over the last few decades. Starting out serving in the Santa Clara County Mental Health Board, and then work to future board, which will help with the dislocated workers and the at-risk youth, and was elected to various school district a board member for two terms, and serve on San Jose City Council for 8 years and 3 terms in the assembly. I just cannot do it without the support of the community. So I want to thank you for your support, and I want to continue make our community a great place to work, to play, to raise a family, and to retire. I want to make sure that everyone has the opportunity afford living here and build a fortune, build a future that they deserve. So please vote for Kansan Chiu as your next Santa Clara County Supervisor. I definitely be focusing on the housing issue, the homelessness issue, and also the underlying cause for all those social issues, I believe, is the income inequality. Income inequality, it is the greatest barrier to equal access. When you're talking about a health care, child care, you know, education, and so on and so forth. So when we're fixing the problems, we should never overlook the root cause of those problems. And I will be addressing that root cause, which is the income inequality. especially in the very high cost living area like Silicon Valley. So again, yes. Thank you, Coach Jackson, for having me here.
Absolutely.
I really always enjoyed talking with you, and hope we'll have a great forum next week, and we'll be seeing each other soon.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining me tonight, Assemblymember Canton Chu, and really, really get out and get that census done and make sure that you vote. I did my census and got it in on the first deadline, so I'm excited about that, but we need you to get your census done. I appreciate you tuning in. Be safe out there. Take the right measures and take care of yourself. We want to help get these small businesses open and support our economies and open back up our economy. Thank you for tuning in. Be good to someone out there. You're listening to AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business and finance leader.